Hello and welcome to our program, That Guy's Mom, today here on Fresh Start Broadcasting. We highly encourage you to read the program description and listen to the past shows to get a full understanding of this amazing story that's touching lives worldwide. So sit back and enjoy the program. Here's Andrea, That Guy's Mom.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We have a little bit of an update of what is going on with the Matt Mayer story and really the story of what God is doing. So, Ann, tell us today. Give us a little update. What's going on?
Good morning, Scott. Today's update, I want to talk about a visitor that Matt had recently that totally touched his heart and was just yet another example of God's grace on Matt and this whole situation. And for those of you that are familiar with the word grace but may not know its original meaning, the word actually means unearned favor, and we can all agree that Matt does not deserve any favor for that awful decision that he made to drink and drive, which took the life of Hort Kapp. But this visit really touched Matt's heart. It came from a man who lost his beautiful daughter to a drunk driver, and his name is George, and he resides in our state of New Jersey. George read about Matt's story in the newspaper and felt in his heart that he wanted to meet him, talk to him face to face. He called my house and asked if we could put him on the visitors list, and Matt, of course, agreed. And Matt's going to be sharing the blessings of this visit through a blog that he wrote. And I just want to say in today's update, it takes a special kind of heart for someone who has suffered such loss to go to a person and to go look at him face to face and encourage him, which is what George did. We hope in his example that it inspires all of us in some way in our own personal lives. And that's today's update.
That's great. And we hope that you'll continue to listen and be encouraged by what you hear today. And enjoy the show as we have our time together today. Thank you for joining us. Well, we want to thank you for joining us on this episode of That Guy's Mom. We are here with Ann Mayer. Ann, good to see you today.
Good to be here, Scott, as usual.
And we are talking about the Matt Mayer story, and really this story is about what God is doing through a tragic event. And God is the one who can take whatever events are going on in your life, no matter how tragic they are, and make something of them. Of course, we need to commit to Him, and today we're going to talk about one of the ways that hinders us, really, from being all that God wants us to be and being able to trust Him. And we're going to talk a little bit about worry. So, Ann,
first thing our listeners need to know, bright and early this morning, I got a text from Scott, and it said, I'm worried about today's show. Now, of course, that was humorous, but I don't ever worry. Do you, Scott?
I'm a professional worrier. Oh. I've got it down pat.
Hey, listen, worry is almost like it's in our DNA. And I often wonder if it came from the Garden of Eden when they decided to do the one thing that the Lord asked them not to do, and then they had to worry. Is he going to find out? And it's kind of in our DNA. Like every situation that comes up in life, people face worry. If your kids are starting school, you talked about it last show, are they worrying, you know, about where they're going to fit in? I know as a parent, when my kids were in high school, because of the cost of college tuition, I was always worried. Are you guys, you know, keeping your grades up? Are you doing all the right things to get scholarships and things like that? Job interviews, the way the market is today.
Yeah. And I know that putting my kids on the bus or dropping them off at school, I go, you know, are they going to be okay?
Yeah.
Is somebody going to bully them?
Yeah.
What's going to happen to them? Are they going to learn? Are they going to get with the wrong crowd? What's going to happen to them today? Are they going to get hurt? And unfortunately, in the world that we live in today, it's very easy to worry. You look at the news and you see that kids go to school and they don't come home because of an incident or something that happens. Sometimes I say, well, there's cause to worry. You know, I like to justify my worry, and it's probably one of the things spiritually that I deal with the most, the worrying about, you know, what's going to happen here, what's going to happen tomorrow,
right?
What's going to happen in this situation or circumstances.
There's plenty to worry about. That is for sure. Now, the key is, what do we do about that? And one of the things I can tell you from my life is that all the worry in the world didn't change a thing.
Yeah. As many times as I ran over the possibilities, as many times as I ran through the scenarios, as often as I wanted to have it all ironed out and say, okay, and you know what? I don't think I ever gained more sleep or felt better.
Yes.
And I don't know that it ever, I was never really prepared for whatever was going to happen.
And how much of what you worry about never happens.
Exactly.
Actually, they say like 98%.
Right.
Because we're always projecting and That is just not the way God wants us to live.
Right. But Scripture says, don't borrow trouble for tomorrow. Yes. And I seem to be getting loans every day. From tomorrow, like, next week, next month.
I like that. I like that. Let's talk a little bit about that, because I really believe God taught me that specifically. There was a time in my life when my kids were in high school and college years, truly my Pollyanna years, I will call them. Everything was wonderful. In fact, Scott, I couldn't wait to get up every day because there'd be some article in the newspaper about a sporting event that my kids were in, or they getting a scholarship, or they were going to a law leadership forum, the governor's school. I mean, lots of amazing accolades. And I lived just thinking, okay, what do we have to do next? But it was an easy kind of a thing. It was building up what I thought the good life for my kids. My worries were about the grades staying up, like I said earlier, things that weren't major. And then I'd like to put it this way. I lived on these highs, and I very rarely had lows. When I had traumas come into my life, which were absolutely necessary to give me the perspective I have now, I totally believe that. I learned real fast when I was blindsided by traumas that it's really important to stay in the day. Because when you're blindsided, especially if you come from the background that I did, where things were moving wonderfully, the all-American family, you know, you were seeing returns in terms of academics and accomplishments. And I mean, truly, 3 out of 4 of my boys had full scholarships to college. I mean, things were amazing. So to be blindsided, so to speak, by 2 major traumas, even though I shared, I had difficulty with my oldest son, you never think that death is going to be the end of that.
Right.
So being blindsided and then having to navigate, how do you go from the Pollyanna life to living with major trauma, which was shameful, disappointing, death of a dream, all of that? How do you do that? Well, I learned really quick about that verse. Don't be anxious for tomorrow. Stay in the day. And I'll tell you, Scott, I don't fall from that anymore. I don't care what my kids accomplish. I don't care the greatest of moments. I have learned to be too high or too low, like Paul says, is not good. So I've learned to say, people come up to me and they're like, how are things going? Today is good. And that's where I stay.
And I have kids who are still in that process, young kids.
Yes.
And I look at them and their, you know, their grades and the sports activities and so forth. And I, too, have come to the point where it's like, these things are going to come and go.
Yep.
There's going to be the times when practice doesn't go well, the game they lose,
yes,
where they may get injured. So I'm not going to borrow that worry from tomorrow and just trust and say, okay, take it today. What is in today? Being a strategic thinker, oftentimes I'm projecting out into the future.
Right.
What is today going to do for this, that, and the other? And often I find myself then worrying.
Yeah.
I know that before we got on a budget financially at home, used to worry all the time about finances because we would spend so frivolously. So we could worry about money. We could worry about jobs. Like we said before, there's never an end of things to worry about. But being able to sit down and live in today and take care of what comes at you today.
Yes.
Realizing tomorrow's going to come. The sun does come up. It will. God's guaranteed that. So tomorrow's going to bring a whole new set of issues, problems, joys.
Yeah.
So tomorrow will come. Live in today and enjoy today and take today what it has.
I think that's a really big, important principle because, as I said, most of what we worry about doesn't come to pass. And you know what? We are in different times right now. I know people who are losing their houses that they've been in for 25 years, the economy, jobs, just everything. And yes, it's normal to say, well, what are we going to do if you're the head of a household and you've just lost your job? So as a pastor, what do you say to people that are in that place?
Well, a lot of times it's a lengthy discussion because one of the things we have to acknowledge is why are we bringing on this anxiety and worry? Mm-hmm. Where is it really coming from? Most of the time, the core comes from an issue of trust and control. Mm. How many of us love to have control of our lives? And what we haven't realized is you're not in control of your life. Mm-hmm. This past weekend was with a family whose father was killed in a DUI accident. Mm-hmm. They didn't know. They set out to drive to get dinner and pick up one of their kids and go home for the night. And life completely changed that time. Yes. You don't know what the next minute brings.
Yes.
So when we have trust issues and control issues, you know, you're not in control of your life as much as you'd like to think it, you are. Mm-hmm. And so many of us have control issues. God's ultimately in control.
Yeah, I think that's the bottom line. There's a scripture that says in Luke 12:2, don't worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will wear. Consider the ravens. God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? Who can add a single hour to his life through worry? Now,
that's such a great verse.
Yeah, but I don't want to minimize our listeners that are out there struggling and wondering, what are we going to do? We cannot pay the mortgage. But the one thing I can say for certainty is lean on God and trust him. If you do that, he will show up somehow.
Trust and leaning on him doesn't mean that you don't have to act or that there's not something you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
It does imply that maybe you need to be calling people and meeting with them. And we still have our part to do.
Right.
But times when we get into an emotional turmoil and our worry is going rampant and we can't sleep and we can't get our mind to shut off, we need to stop and say, why am I doing this?
Right.
And trusting God does not mean it's going to turn out the way you want it to. But he does assure us that he doesn't want to harm us. He does want to prosper us,
right,
which doesn't mean wealth and all that. It means he's going to take care of us. Look at the birds and the lilies. They're clothed. They're fed. They've got everything they need.
Yeah.
And quite often our worries are wrapped up more in our wants, which are brought on by our society that says this is what you should have to be
bigger,
successful.
Better. Bigger, better.
Yeah. Have more, be more, do more, and we go, that's success. And then there's this pressure that builds up, and our kids feel it in school.
Absolutely.
You get straight A's. Did you score in your game? Did you do this?
What about what they wear?
What they wear. Did you dress right? And
oh, my goodness. That's why, again, that's a whole nother show, but I'm for uniforms, but that's another show.
Well, if you can get my daughters to wear uniforms, Ann, we're good.
But, well, you know what I wanted to say to that, though? And I will put this out to our listeners. Yeah, we are in an economic downturn. But for those of us that are not in that spot, let's be receptive to God in terms of food banks. And if you know someone that's struggling with a mortgage and you could help, you know, we can all help each other during these times. And that's how God shows up. He is not going to throw money out of heaven. You're not going to be just sitting on the bench and suddenly a mortgage payment hits you on the head.
Wouldn't that be nice?
It would be real nice. I'd like to find that bench.
But yeah.
In any event, the important thing is, though, can I be that for somebody? Am I able to do it as unto the Lord? And we need to be sensitive to things like that. You know, another area, I was thinking about my mom. You know, she died 3 months prior to Matt's fatal DUI accident that he caused. And my mom lives behind me with a unit attached to the back of our house, my mom and my dad. My mother and father had extended that unit because they were moving back from Florida to stay year-round now instead of just for the summer. The whole year prior to my mom's death, there was an addition being put on. And my mother would worry about every aspect of that. When is it going to be done? I need it done by the time I come back. I mean, truly worried. And you know what's so ironic? She never got to live in it because she died. Before
wow.
It was just completed and she died.
That's powerful.
That is powerful, Scott, because every time I look in my own backyard, I see this finished addition that my mother never got to live in.
But lived in worry every day for it.
Yeah. I'm telling you, things like that, they got to change us. They have to change us, and God uses them.
And God's real desire is to change us. And God's desire is that we do see those things. And when you talk about living in today, I have tried to come to the point where I enjoy the process and identify the process, that the tough times and the adversity and even the uncertainties are there to mold and shape.
Yes.
And so when we worry, we basically say, God, I'm not sure I like the lesson you're teaching me.
Yep.
I want to have control of this, and I want to know what the outcome is going to be. I will tell you today that there are several things in my life that I worried about that he has brought about in his time, not mine, that have been thousands of times better than what I had planned. I wanted this, or what about that?
Yeah.
Or even just looking at my kids, you know, there are days when you worry about when they're babies, what are they going to grow up to be like?
Yeah.
Who are they going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I look at them now and I go, wow, why did I worry about that? Another great example would be dating. When I look at my wife now, I go, why did I date? Why did I worry about who I was going to be seen with and whether I got to hold hands or or how far the relationship went, I look at my wife now and go, if I had just trusted God, because yes. He said, He promises, He knows who's out there for yes. us and yeah. how our relationships are supposed to work. And I look at my wife even today after 16 years of marriage and go, if I had known and trusted God back in my teenage years, I wouldn't have worried about who I was going to date, where I was going out on Friday night, who I was going to be seen with.
Right.
That's the type of lessons we need to learn that we don't have to worry. We can enjoy and live in today.
Yeah.
Not that we don't sit down and think, okay, am I on the right track? And am I doing today what's going to benefit tomorrow? Mm-hmm. But the reverse is worry. What is it tomorrow that I need to control and be up for?
Right.
Whereas today, we should worry about today.
I have a great anecdote to that in terms of worrying and spouses, dating, all of that. Of course, the mom of four boys, I have prayed for their spouses long before they were even at that phase in their life, and resigned that when they found that spouse, that God was honoring my prayers. And there's a story about a woman who had prayed for her son's wife, and he brings home this girl and says, you know, I love her, we're going to get married, but she was already married before and had two children. She was divorced. And the mother was devastated, and she said, oh my goodness, that's not at all what I prayed for. But as time moved on, they wound up getting married, and they were on a summer vacation, and the mom couldn't sleep because she just was so troubled that this was not the vision she had for her son. And she's out on the porch, and she's talking to God. God, I can't imagine. This is not what I prayed for. And she bumps into, literally on the porch, the new daughter-in-law, who's also out there praying to God. And she goes, oh, what are you doing out here? And the daughter-in-law says, I was just praying to God and thanking Him, for you are the mother-in-law I have been praying for.
Oh, my goodness.
Just shows you, God knows. You cannot judge what you think God's going to send your way. If you're praying, know that He sent it your way.
And our worry will hinder being able to see and experience and enjoy what yes. God has planned for us. And so when we come back from the break, Ann, I'd like to talk about maybe some of the times when you worried. And during this process, have you ever worried?
No, never.
So we'll talk about that as we come back from the break. Thank you again for joining us today.
You've been listening to That Guy's Mom here on Fresh Start Broadcasting, and we'll be right back with more of the program after this brief announcement from one of our sponsors.
Become wealthy investing with me in Arizona real estate. Invest with Premonition Investments, an established investment firm here in Arizona. Find out how I've managed to increase my net worth over $50,000 in 1 month. Increase monthly income by $900. I have a plan. It's working. I'm going to become wealthy with this strategy. This is not a get-rich scheme. If you've ever wanted to invest in real estate, now is the time. Call us today at 1-800-705-8865, extension 802. Again, that's Premonition Investments at 1-800-705-8865, extension 802, and become wealthy investing with me in Arizona real estate.
Welcome back to That Guy's Mom here on Fresh Start Broadcasting. So here she is, picking up right where she left off. This is our hope.
This is a promise. Welcome back from the break. Thank you again for joining us and That Guy's Mom. And we've been talking today about a topic that seems to hit everybody at one point or another, and that's worry. Whether you're a student worrying about a test tomorrow, whether you're a parent worried about your children, whether you're a spouse worrying about your loved one for one reason or another. There have been some reasons for you, I guess, to be worried at different times.
Why don't
you
yeah.
tell us about one or two of those?
I've had a few opportunities to worry. I'll tell you one, having a child who's off the beaten track, and a lot of parents out there know what that's like. If you have a child engaged in any risky behaviors, whether that's drugs, alcohol, pornography, sexual activity, gambling, poker's a big thing these days with kids. There's a lot to worry about there. And when your child begins to make decisions independent of your values, that was a big source of worry for me. And again, I speak from the authority of what God has taught me through that. As I said in the beginning, all my worry for my oldest son didn't change one thing. And I think I got that lesson now. I do realize that. And even when I begin to worry, I just kind of try to cut it off. I try to fill my mind with things of God, because that is what's going to give me the strength I need to face the risky behavior, to face the turmoil that comes with bad choices. So during that part in my life, yeah, I had to learn a whole lot about worry, which you said comes down to control issues, which is really what it was. I wanted to fix it and control it. And there's things in our children's lives that are just going to take their own life because the children themselves have to resolve it. They have to walk through their own trials.
We raise individuals.
Yeah.
We don't raise automatons that mm-hmm. just do what we tell them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And having the daughter stepping into teenage years,
oh,
you know, you
boy.
Understand.
You are in big trouble.
Their brains are developing and they're branching out. And so if we have control issues, we're always going to have worry issues. And that's where surrendering over to trust and trusting God's much bigger. And he has a plan that we cannot see, and being able to trust in him. And I have to come back to that all the time.
Scott's daughter turns 13 tomorrow. So I have to admit, I'm going to have fun watching him take this ride with daughters, because they're a whole different beast. So we're going to watch Scott not worry, and I'll give you updates on whether he's worrying or not. But truly, there's so many things that I've worried about. And another area, and this would be very applicable to people who have children, spouses, loved ones in the military. I have a son in the military, and he had done 3 deployments in a matter of 4 years. And I will tell you, the way the situation is now over in Afghanistan and Iraq, there are so many uncertainties. I have a dear friend who has 3 sons who are all Marine captains in the military right now, and they're in Afghanistan. And we're worried. We're worried about, you know, the unknown and the uncertainty. I try to encourage her, because they're more, my son was in the Navy, so he was on a ship. So the dangers are not the same as those foot soldiers that are out there, like our Marines. But a lot of us are on this end of things, and we worry about what's going to happen. And again, the issue is, our worry isn't going to change. There's a scripture that talks about that we have an appointed time for our death, an appointed time to be born. And it's Psalm 139. It's an awesome psalm. There is so much in that psalm. I would encourage everyone to just read that psalm today, because the Psalms is just such a beautiful book anyway. But again, when Michael was away on his deployments, I won't ever worry about what if he's killed. Because I do believe that that day is appointed by God. And we know when we saw 911 in New York, we heard all the stories. We heard the stories of people that were supposed to be in work that day and they didn't show up. We heard the stories of people that weren't supposed to be there and were there and were killed. You can't figure these things out. So there's no sense in wasting your time, your energy on things that you have no control over.
Which goes right back to, you can't enjoy today.
Mm-hmm.
If you're worried about tomorrow.
Yeah.
And death and how our life is going to go forward is always one of the points of worry for a lot of us.
Yeah.
And we need to say, okay, what is it today that today has that I can enjoy and that I need to be involved in?
Yeah.
People who worry are not often in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They're borrowing, they're looking toward, and they're in another moment. I say that from firsthand experience.
Sure.
How many times I've been at home and my kids, I hear them saying, Dad, are you listening? Well, I'm off in another world thinking, well, what if this happens? Or
right.
I've got to do that. And I'm not with them, enjoying them and what God has given me. I'm worried about tomorrow. I'm worried about something else.
Yeah, I can remember when Anthony, my number 2 son, was in college, and he would call me. He's like one of these hyper type A personalities. And he would call me. Like wherever he is, there's a short hurricane that precedes him and follows him. And he would call me with like, Mom, you got to pray for some situation. He would get me crazy. I'd hang the phone up. I would be calling my friends. We have to pray. You know, Anthony has this big exam or this important. And I would be, when's he going to call back and tell me what happened? And I'm worried all day. And I would call him, Anthony, what happened? About what? What do you mean about what? That phone call you gave me this morning. Oh, that was fine. You know, I found out 5 minutes later. You didn't call me back. And I realized I had 6 hours wasted worrying. So again, I'm not the kind of person that's going to trip over the same rock twice. I may find a different rock. But one thing about me, if I trip over the rock that's in front of me, I will look down the next time. So I'm learning from these things. And I say, you know what? next hyper call, I'll just say, I'm not overreacting. Because as parents, I do. I think we invest so much in our children. It's almost off balance because we really don't give them over to God. We still think that we can guide and orchestrate and protect simply through our thoughts and our worrying, when we can do so much more on our knees and praying.
Right. And that giving it over to God is what will alleviate. And as we mature and we grow and we practice this, it does alleviate the anxieties that come with worry.
Yes.
Being able to learn how to turn it over to God. I really got frustrated with people in my life when they'd say, oh, just let it go. I don't like that statement.
Yeah.
Don't make that statement to me. If I let it go, I won't have control anymore. And then I go, oh, yeah, there it is.
That's what he wants.
All right, let it go. And he does. He does want us to turn it over to him. He does want us to turn over whatever it is that you're worried about now. You may have a loved one in jail, mm-hmm. and you're worried about their safety or their health. You're worried about what's happening to them. You may be worried, you know, about those in the military, kids at school. There's a number of things to worry about. Learn how to say to God, here, it's yours.
Yes.
And you will grab back onto it because the learning is a process. And God wants us to release it and say, you know, I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to give it to God, and he's going to, whatever the outcome is, I'm going to give it to him and accept it.
Yeah, I really did find that in my life, though, Scott, with a lot of really hard things that I used to call it, like if I left it at the altar in my own house. I don't have an altar, but I have a prayer spot. And I would try to discipline myself to pour it all out. And when I left that room, I would leave it with the Lord. And the times that I did that, I have seen God show up in amazing ways. And the times that I've grabbed it back, it's been my loss. And so I really do think that that's what we're encouraging people to do. I just had a call from a friend. The prison that her son is in, a fellow prisoner, was beat to death through the night. 21-year-old boy, kicked to death. And you have children in prison, or a loved one or a spouse, that could give you rise to fear and anxiety.
Absolutely.
But I have to go back to God knows he's in control. If my Matt, who's in prison, is destined to leave this earth today, there's nothing that's going to change that. And my worry isn't going to. So I'm not going to waste my energy that way.
Right. And it is a waste of energy. It is something that runs in the background that drains us of creative energy. It drains us of the ability to be in the here and now. And it drains us in our relationship abilities.
Yeah.
It will drain every area of our life. It will drain us spiritually.
Yes.
To where we don't have that connection with God.
Right.
Because we're worried about it. We're off doing stuff. And he's like, you know, what about me? I'm not participating in that.
So ineffective. We're just be ineffective. And that's just not a good place to be. I want to read something that I love. This story about General Stonewall Jackson from the Civil War. And I want to read some dialogue here. This is a conversation between General Jackson and Captain John Imboden. "General," I remarked, "how is it that you keep so cool and appear so utterly insensible to danger in such a storm of shell and bullets as rained about you when your hand was hit?" He instantly became grave and reverential in his manner, and he said in a low tone of great earnestness, "Captain, my belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself about that, but to always be ready, no matter what may overtake me." He added, after a pause and looking me full in the face, "That is the way all men should live, and then all men would be equally brave." I love that.
So our bravery is not dependent on our control of the situation or our being able to control the outcome. Our bravery is really founded in who God is and that he's big enough.
Yeah.
He's big enough.
I love that. This guy is a general. He's
right.
In the Civil War. You know how they fought in the Civil War. They
yes.
just walked towards each other.
Yeah.
It's the strangest thing to watch. And he's saying, I'm not going to curtail back. I'm not going to fear. If my day is meant to be today. Now, that doesn't mean be foolish to do something irresponsible, because then we're responsible. God tells us to be responsible for how we act and what we do. But it does show that he's surrendered to the whole idea that he doesn't have that kind of control.
Right. And in any battle that we find ourselves facing, let's look at it from this direction. I know that one of the things I worry about is conflict.
Yeah.
Pending conflict or unresolved conflict, and how is it going to be resolved and what's going to happen and how easy it is to get wrapped up in that instead of saying, all right, and this is where I'm learning to live now. All right, that conflict's going to come one way or another.
Yeah.
I don't have to seek after it. I don't have to run after it. And I don't have to sit here and worry about it, because I'm sitting here worrying because I want to know how it's going to turn out. It's going to turn out just the way God wants it to. Yeah. And it will serve a purpose in my life if I let it, the purpose that God wants it to serve in my life. And I'll go away and say, okay, thank you, God, and go on to the next thing. So not borrow from that.
That's
not
good.
Be looking at it, but saying, all right, God, you have the outcome already set. So it doesn't have to be a life-threatening deal. It could just be conflict with somebody or something is worrying and burdening you. Could be a pending court date.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you on that one, because I cannot stand conflict. And that does trouble me. When there's conflict in family situations, I worry, you know, how will I handle it? But I try now to always pray, even before that, to just allow God to show up and try to remember some of the good proverbs, that a kind word turns away wrath and things like that, because things can heat up real quick when people are tense. And again, worrying doesn't change that. You know, it's not going to change the rebellious child. It's not going to change the conflict. It's not going to keep your child or your husband or your loved ones safe in Iraq. But the power of prayer will. And we started, you know, one of our updates has been about prayer warriors and the importance. That's what we call our life insurance policy. You know what? I'd rather people be praying for me than trying to tell me, don't worry about that.
Right, right.
This will be okay. No, pray for me. And I love when, especially the situation with Matt, we get all kinds of emails and people say, we are praying for your family. We brought your family to our prayer teams and our church. Are you kidding? That's like giving me $1 million. I'll take that any day of the week.
Right. And so often we think prayer is the last resort as Christians. But really, it's the first line of defense. I know I've shown up a couple times in the hospital and people look at me like, has it come to this? The pastor has to come and pray for me? Is it that bad? Well, no, it's not that it's that bad. It's just that's the first thing we should do. We should be jumping right away and saying, okay, God, what is it? You're getting on our knees and presenting it to him and giving it to him. That is, like we've said, a hard lesson to learn. It's something that may take a lifetime.
Absolutely.
But it's definitely worth learning.
I saw that movie, Letters to God, and it's based on a true story. This little boy had cancer, and it really showed me the kind of trial a parent with a sick child goes through. Watching your child with cancer being, you know, stuck and struck with needles and throwing up after chemotherapy. And my heart was like, Lord, can I ever do this? I can't even imagine my grandchild, this happening to one of my children's children. But the beauty of it was this little boy kept writing letters to God. He had more faith. He was not worried about where he was going. And it's just an inspirational reminder to all of us that, again, from the beauty and the innocence of childlike faith, we can see that when we learn to just lean on God, he shows up. And as hard as it might be to watch trials and tribulations and to go through them, God doesn't want us to worry. He will involve himself if we let him.
So we just want to encourage you today. Worry is something that a lot of us find ourselves in, especially in times of trauma, tragedy, in times of uncertain circumstances. We all find ourselves worrying. Hebrews 4 would be a great place to go, verse 16, and it just tells us that in times of needs, in times of trouble, God is there. Mm. So if you're sitting there going, yeah, well, I've never sensed him, I don't know where he's at, well, that's why we encourage you every week, the same way when we end our shows.
Yes, we end our shows always with Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God, and we will be praying for you this week. Thanks for joining us.
Well, that's all the time we have today for our program, That Guy's Mom. Be sure and join us here next week as Andrea continues the story of That Guy's Mom, same time, same place, right here on Fresh Start Broadcasting.